I listen to the wind of my soul. Where I'll end up, well, I think only God really knows. I've sat upon the setting sun, but never, never, never.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Dr. Harold Prior, the founder and executive director of the Iowa Wind Energy Association, where he previously served as the president of the board of directors from the organization's inception. A retired school administrator, Dr. Prior has been involved in wind energy since the 1990s. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Harold Prior.
Ian, it's great to be with you.
And today in Ohio, standing in front of a phalanx of hard-hat coal miners, Mitt Romney accused President Obama of waging a war on coal. And conversely, in your state of Iowa, the president was standing on a sunny day with a backdrop of cornfields extolling the virtues of wind energy. Now, tell us about the reality of wind energy, because as the president pointed out today, and Mitt Romney has suggested that wind and solar power are imaginary sources of energy. And the vice presidential nominee, Paul Ryan, has been equally dismissive of wind energy. What kind of a reality is it?
Well, first of all, Ian, thanks for the opportunity. And you know, I'm not going to comment about the coal industry because obviously our focus and our interest is on the wind energy industry, both in Iowa and nationally. And what I can tell you about the wind energy industry is, number one, you know, the wind energy industry only seeks to be a legitimate part of a balanced portfolio of all sources of energy generation. And the goal of the American Wind Energy Association, the Iowa Wind Energy Association, the United States Department of Energy also, I believe, is 20% of our generation nationally from wind by 2030. And the thing that the wind energy does as much as anything for both rural economies and urban and suburban economies is it brings a huge amount of distributed revenue sources and increase manufacturing opportunities to a state like Iowa. For example, Iowa leads the nation in the number of wind-related jobs at approximately 7,000. We lead the nation in the percentage of our electricity generated from wind at 20%. And we were the first state in the nation to realize 20% of our electrical generation from wind. Finally, in the rural areas, it brings wonderful operation maintenance jobs that pay to start $40,000 to $50,000 a year, that appeal to young families with school-age children, and it takes a significant number of these jobs to maintain the operation of the utility steel turbines and the wind farms in the rural areas of our state. Furthermore, our farmers and landowners realize annual lease payments for these turbines of anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000 per turbine per year. And that's typically a 20 to 30 year contract for the landowner. And finally, in terms of the rural areas, what these turbines contribute to the local tax valuation base is pretty incredible. Each of these utility scale turbines in Iowa will generate about $900,000 of additional assessed valuation to help raise needed tax revenues for our counties and some school district budgets. Finally, the wind energy industry, because Iowa also leads the nation in the number of component manufacturers and supply chain and wind-related companies that are located here in Iowa, creates terrific employment opportunities in the manufacturing and service sectors in the urban and suburban parts of our state.
Well, already, it seems, Dr. Harold Prior, again, the founder and executive director of the Iowa Wind Energy Association, already there is in this country 50 gigawatts of wind energy is being generated and 5 gigawatts of solar energy is being generated. And this is way above an energy forecast, the expected 40 gigawatts by 2030. So clearly the U.S. is way ahead of the targets that were previously set. Why do you think there is this opposition? For example, as I mentioned earlier, with Mitt Romney suggesting that wind and solar power are imaginary sources of energy. It sounds 50 gigawatts or 55 gigawatts, that's real energy.
Well, yeah, and I can't speak to Mr. Romney's rationale for his position. But by the end of this year, I can tell you that with over 10,000 megawatts under construction nationally, we're going to be well past 60 gigawatts of total installed capacity nationally. And that should be probably 5 to 6% of all the energy generation in the United States will be from wind by the end of December of 2012. And so interestingly enough, when you look at the statistics, it will take an estimated 300 gigawatts of installed capacity to reach the 20% of all generation from wind goal for the United States. And at 60 gigawatts, we'd be 20% of the way there, which again, as you said, and I want to add these statistics, is way ahead of the projection. And we can continue this progress of growth if we get those modest production tax credit credits renewed by Congress and signed into law by the president. And, you know, this is not like Solyndra. This is much different than that. These are payments for actual electrical production that actually go against the wind farm owner-operator's federal tax liability. So it's not like a cash grant or anything like that. It's money that is in the mix of the economics of the project to actually return the investors money and really assure a profit for the generation of the wind energy from a given wind farm investment. And so, you know, one of the things that makes wind so attractive is that there is no underlying natural resource cost. You know, we don't have to worry about spikes in prices like we do with coal, oil, or natural gas. And because the wind raw material is free, can't be speculated, can't be controlled by anyone. And so, you know, it gives the surety for the cost or the price at a wholesale level of wind energy to remain very constant because there are not price fluctuation variables out there like there are for other generation methodologies.
So, again, I speak with Dr. Harold Pryor, the founder and executive director of the Iowa Wind Energy Association. And today in Iowa, President Obama touted wind energy, and he also talked about how 37,000 jobs nationally have been created, and they would be at risk if the wind tax credit is not extended. It's facing Republican opposition. He also went on to take a dig at his opponent, Mitt Romney, saying Mitt Romney said new sources of energy like these are imaginary. His running mate calls them a fad. During a speech a few months ago, Governor Romney even explained his energy policy this way: you can't drive a car with a windmill on it. And then President Obama took the opportunity to make a crack at Romney, saying, I don't know if he's actually tried that, driving a windmill on top of his car. I know he's had other things on his car, clearly referring to the family dog that was strapped to the top of the car. So how do you feel about being in the grist for the political mill, Dr. Pryor?
Some people might say it's a signal that our industry has really arrived. I think it's a great opportunity to explain to people the fact that wind energy is the second fastest growing method of generating electricity in the United States over the past 7 years. And over the past several years, the wind energy installations have increased at about a 35% a year pace. And just a minor correction on the data, as I understand it, that you referenced. I think according to the American Wind Energy Association, nationally, the wind energy industry has created about 75,000 jobs. About 37,000 are at risk if the production tax credit is not extended.
Well,
and actually, we believe that if the production tax credit is extended and stays in place with our current pace of growth, the wind energy industry would probably likely create 500,000 jobs in the next 10 years.
So what is the downside of wind energy? We know the downside of coal is it's the one of the most the worst polluters and contributing to CO2, the cause of global warming. We know from the Fukushima meltdowns and other nuclear accidents the perils of nuclear power. What's the downside of wind energy?
Well, frankly, Ian, I can't think of a single one. You know, our industry does not create any sources of pollution. In fact, the wind energy industry, especially at a time when we have record-setting droughts, is one of the few electric generation methodologies that does not use huge quantities of water. And you know, there are really no pollutants associated with the wind energy industry. We have some opponents that like to exaggerate with claims about, you know, shadow flicker and damage to birds and you know, maybe it messes up their view of the horizon. But most of their claims have been disputed. These turbines operate very quietly. I've actually climbed 5 different times in a utility-scale wind turbine. I've stood right below them and granted interviews. I've had Representative Tom Latham sit on top of 235 feet and do an interview with an Iowa Public Radio reporter. And basically, wind turbines are a marvelous example of American ingenuity and another great example whenever people see them for economic development, job creation, and moving us towards an energy independent nation.
So it doesn't kill birds. Is that what you're saying?
The studies that have been done about wind turbines and birds is that more birds are killed by flying into unopened windows, moving vehicles, and feral cats than are killed by wind turbines, and those are individual statistics. In other words, feral cats kill more birds annually than do wind turbines. Birds flying into unopened windows die at a higher rate than from wind turbines. I live in northwest Iowa. I'm an outdoorsman. I hunt around these all the time, and I have never yet seen a dead game bird at the bottom of a wind turbine tower.
Well, I guess your point, though, is well taken, Dr. Harold Prior. If wind energy is now a grist for the political mill, then it's something real, although politicians tend to often argue about unreal things. I guess we all should be gratified, right?
and, you know, we'd love to have Governor Romney just you know, reassess his position on the wind energy industry. It's not like Solyndra. It's completely different. Many leading Republicans in Iowa, Senator Grassley, who's known as the father of the production tax credit, he was the sponsor of it when it was started back in 1992. Our Governor Terry Branstad, Representative Tom Latham, Representative Steve King, all leading influential Republicans in Iowa politics are very supportive. They sing the praises of the wind energy industry all the time, and just as they are, we're doing the same thing. We're really hoping that Governor Romney will reassess his position on the wind energy industry and be able to understand that, you know, it does one of the things that his campaign is all about, which is the creation of good-paying American jobs that can't be outsourced. I mean, these jobs are going to be here for the foreseeable future surrounding this. So we just asked the governor if he just, you know, please reconsider his position on this production tax credit and take a closer look at all the positive things the wind energy industry can do for our economy and job creation.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here today, Dr. Harold Prior.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Harold Prior, who's the founder and executive director of the Iowa Wind Energy Association, where he previously served as the president of the board of directors from the organization's inception. He's a retired school administrator, and Dr. Prior has been involved in wind energy since the 1990s. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Michelle Manos. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.